I just want to invite you to enter into a form of worship you may never have entered into in a Baptist church before. Just breathe in. It's the first time in my knowledge that we've lit frankincense in the church, but that's what's burning at the front here. And of course, for thousands of years, it symbolized for people the idea of, it symbolizes the prayer rising to God and being a fragrant offering to Him. And just as the fragrance of the incense creates the smoke and rises up. Oh! Well, there we go. All right, Lord, I'm sorry. Not as heat-proof as you thought. Okay, we'll just leave it there for now. It's on metal. Did everybody get one of these when they came in? It's all right, leave it there. It's burning away quite happily on its own, I think. Yeah, just be careful. As long as we get the broken glass out of the way. I don't think there's a lot of little bits. Okay, thank you. And has everybody got something to write with? You will need, I'm not going to use this straight away, but it would be great when we get to that moment. And all the kids can do this as well when we get there. Kids, after the service, will you not come up here on the platform, please, any of you? Not just because we've got something hot here, but because we've now got probably little bits of glass that we need to vacuum up. Well, I want to sort of do a sort of a bit of an anti-quiz this morning. And here's the question. What were the names of the three kings from around the world who appear in the nativity scene with Jesus' family and the shepherds? What were the names of the three kings from around the world who appear in the nativity scene with Jesus' family and the shepherds? I'll take an answer from anybody except David Thompson, who told me all the answers before the service. Sorry? Melchior, really? Okay. Yeah, anybody else you could think of? Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. Well, they were names. Now, the question said how many, said the three. Let's be quite clear, first of all, that Matthew doesn't tell us how many people came with gifts to Jesus. We just sort of assume that because there were three gifts, there were three bringers of the gifts. Could have been two, could have been four, could have been eight, we don't know. But three is the number by tradition. And those gifts are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, well, as I said, I didn't have a pile of gold to bring. The only gold I own is on my finger, which I suspect for the men is where, if we have any gold, that's where it is. Ladies might have a little bit more in their ears. Well, I don't know, or in necklaces and that sort of thing. Gold, frankincense, and then myrrh, which was a sort of oil. And there were these names, Melchior, Caspar or Gaspar, Balthazar. Names given back in the mists of time to these three people. And where did they come from? Well, initially, it was believed that one came from Persia, one came from India, and one came from Arabia. That was the oldest tradition, though there are many different traditions, and it's been widened. And when the medieval mystery plays used to go around the country and people used to go and watch them, they were often a white man, an African, somebody made up like an African, and somebody from the Far East, probably Chinese. So they became representative of people from around the world, except that, of course, Matthew tells us that they came from the East, not the South or the North, but from the East. And therefore, actually, Persia, Babylon, India, Arabia were probably the likely area. What do we know about these kings? Firstly, the word Matthew uses is the word... Does anybody know what the word is that Matthew uses for the wise men? Magi or Magi. That's right. From which we get this, from the same root, we get magic. Though that's not what they were. They weren't magicians. The Magi were really the intellectual people of their day. They were probably geniuses. Now, of course, nobody who calls themselves a genius is by definition a genius. But these men were very learned men. And they had studied the movements of the stars, but they hadn't just studied the movement of the stars. They knew a bit about basic chemistry. They'd begun to look at how the physics of the world worked, scientists. They had read widely in the religious books, which is why when they saw this star, They were able to bring verses of the Old Testament to bear to interpret what this star meant that they were seeing. So the Magi were very clever people, which also means that they were wealthy. Either they were wealthy or they had very wealthy friends, because that sort of education only came with wealth. That's how you got to know. And of course, you had to be wealthy to mount a journey of several hundred miles with all the stuff you needed to get you to Bethlehem and back again afterwards. You need to be wealthy to lay on that sort of trip. But so Magi really tells us they were wise. The fact that they were wealthy suggests that they could have been royalty. They might have been royalty from somewhere. We don't know. But that verse I read right at the beginning of the service tells us where the idea that they were kings came from. This is the verse. Arise, Jerusalem, it's talking to Jerusalem. Arise, Jerusalem, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. It was that kings will come to you, but allowed the interpretation that these wise men were kings, which was picked up in the tradition later on. And the other thing about the kings is to say that if they were kings, they were kings of a different sort to Herod. These kings were willing to bow the knee to God. These kings were willing to follow God's directions. These kings were willing to honor the what God was doing in the world. Herod was none of those things. Herod was just interested in himself, his own riches, his own reputation. That was King Herod. So part of the reason kings are emphasized here was that it was always an opportunity when presenting this story in the days when kings were much more powerful than we know them now, to say, these are the sort of kings we want you to be, not this one who was king over the land there at the time, King Herod. That was really important. So, the scene, the nativity scene, all the elements are there before you. We've got, what have we got there? We've got Mary and Joseph and the baby, twice actually there. We've got some sheep over here and some shepherds over here. We've got some wise men here, a donkey here, an ox here, and some angels and the star. All those ingredients that go to make up our Christmas picture. But of course, Luke tells us the story of the shepherds. Matthew tells us the story of the wise men. Neither try to combine them. It's just that it's an effective way of telling the whole story fairly easily for us to do that. So we tell the story and we put all the bits together, but the chances are, from the evidence, that the wise men came to Jesus some time later than the shepherds. So the traditional nativity scene is not in the Bible, but it's a helpful way of combining the accounts given by Matthew and Luke. And then there are three gifts: gold, frankincense, myrrh. Now, they are mentioned. The fact that they were magi, wise men, that's mentioned. The fact that there were three gifts, that's mentioned. Gold, a symbol of kingship, a symbol of majesty. But as we thought the other week, can also be a symbol of everything that's wrong with humankind. It depends how it is used and what it is used for. And frankincense, a symbol of living with God, a symbol of living a holy life. And then myrrh, an oil made by mixing it with the resin of the myrrh tree, a symbol of suffering and death, as well as of kingship. And they speak to us, these three gifts, of what Jesus would do, who Jesus would be. He came to be Lord of our lives. He came to be the one who gives us a relationship with God. And he came to do that by laying down his life for each one of us. Now we come to this little thing. Has everybody got one of these? If not, I don't know whether any left outside, but if there's anybody not got one, and I'm going to, this can be for anybody here, I think perhaps you're better getting on with that, aren't you? If you want to, you can do this later. But I know some of you feel these things are a bit twee and not for you, but it's New Year. Happy New Year, by the way. It's New Year, and the question I want you to reflect on for just a few moments, we're not going to spend ages and ages doing this, I don't want you to be too general with this. I don't want you to sign it either, so I'm not going to come round later and pick it up and say, on the 7th of January, you said you would go coal mining for Jesus. But what I'm saying is, what gift has God given you? I'm not asking, this is not a resolution. Resolutions come and go. But this is saying, what gift have you got? What gift has God given to you? What is there that you can give back to him this year? And it may be something you're already doing. Playing my guitar. Singing my songs. Writing my poetry. Playing football. Training kids to play football. Leading a small group. Bringing together a group where mums who have got children with special needs can come and talk to one another and help one another. Giving people lifts. You know, the list is as long as the number of people who are here. And longer, perhaps. But what one thing in this moment in time comes to mind that you can write on here as a gift you're offering to Jesus today? Because he doesn't look necessarily for gold and frankincense and myrrh. What really delights him is when the gifts he's given to us, our abilities, we take and use in his name. So just let's be quiet for 30 seconds to a minute and just take time to write that down. And when you've done that, I'd like you, are you looking for some spare ones or a pen? There's a pen here, okay. I'm going to ask you to just take that in your hand. If you don't want people around you to see it, then you'll have to just... You know what's on it, so you can always fold it. So I'm going to say a prayer. And there'll be a point in the prayer where I stop talking. And I'm not asking you to say out loud what it is you've written down there. But just for you, in the silence, to say, God, I want to give you this today for this year. Father God, the three gifts the wise men brought remind us of the gift you give us in Jesus, who came to be our Lord and our guide through life, one worth following, who came to make it possible to live constantly in your presence. Not only that, he comes to be a presence living in us day by day, that we might know your love and love you in return. And we remember that that's made possible because he, without counting the cost to himself, went to the cross of Calvary and died there to rise again, that we might have the hope of forgiveness, unity with you, and eternal and abundant life. We cannot begin to repay what you've done for us. But in this moment, I want to offer you this gift. You can, in this quiet now, just say to God what that gift is. So I pray that you will receive it. You will bless it. And having stated it before you, that you will create opportunities for me to use it in the coming days, weeks, and months of 2018. So hear the prayer of each one of us. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.